Your immune system identifies up to a billion different threats while peacefully coexisting with trillions of beneficial bacteria. It's not a blunt weapon, but a sophisticated diplomat, constantly negotiating between protection and tolerance. Yet this elegance comes with profound risk. When the system misfires, it can attack your own tissues with the same precision it uses to fight infections, affecting 50 million Americans through autoimmune diseases, 75% of them women. Or it might stand down entirely, allowing cancer cells to multiply unchecked. These aren't rare malfunctions, but inherent vulnerabilities in our most vital defense system. Through four remarkable patient stories, we discover how our bodies maintain this precarious balance between self-destruction and survival, revealing why understanding immunity matters more than ever in an age of emerging diseases and medical breakthroughs. Your body operates like a perpetual festival where billions of cells perform specialized roles. Immune cells act as janitors, sentinels, and spies, constantly scanning for threats from mutated tissue to invading pathogens. When danger appears, neutrophils and natural killer cells trigger inflammation. Some cells sacrifice themselves, while others transport infection fragments to lymph nodes, where T cells and B cells mount targeted attacks. This protection costs dearly. Fever slows pathogens, profound fatigue forces rest, and sometimes chronic conditions emerge from excessive immune reactions. We face relentless invasion by thousands of pathogens, bacteria evolved over 3.5 billion years, viruses that integrate into our DNA, and parasites with sophisticated evasion techniques. These invaders multiply rapidly, bacteria every 20-30 minutes, breach body barriers, and mutate constantly, creating an evolutionary arms race our slower cells barely match. Beyond fighting infections, the immune system protects against bloodborne threats, allows tissue regeneration while watching for cancer, and maintains precise balance to prevent self-destruction. This equilibrium evolved over 500 million years as an ever-vigilant peacekeeping force. In 16th century Italy, Fabricius discovered a mysterious sac beneath a chicken's tail that proved crucial to understanding immunity. In 1622, Gaspare Acelli observed milky veins in a dissected dog, revealing an alternate circulatory system. The field advanced dramatically in 1882 when Elie Metchnikoff inserted rose thorns into transparent starfish larvae and witnessed cells swarming the foreign objects, the basis of phagocytosis theory. 9 years later, Paul Ehrlich developed the lock and key theory, proposing specialized cells attached to diseases via structures he named anticorpa, antibodies. In 1941, 17-year-old Jacqueline Miller died of tuberculosis in Shanghai. Her younger brother Jacques, haunted by his survival, later proved the thymus, an organ considered worthless, produced crucial T cells. In 1951, an 8-year-old boy arrived at Walter Reed with 18 bouts of pneumonia in 18 months. Colonel Ogden Bruton discovered he had no gamma globulins, yet, puzzlingly, still fought some viruses. This sparked fierce debate between antibody-mediated versus cell-mediated immunity. Dr. Max Cooper ultimately demonstrated two distinct lymphocyte lineages, T cells from the thymus and B cells from bone marrow, establishing that B cells generate antibodies while T cells fight directly or direct responses. How does your immune system react to entirely new pathogens? Susumu Tonegawa discovered that as B cells mature, their genetic segments, V, variable, D, diversity, and J, combine in millions of daily variations. This VDJ recombination creates trillions of antibody combinations, random keys awaiting unknown locks. Like a locksmith crafting keys before knowing which doors exist, our bodies maintain vast defensive libraries, anticipating threats from ancient bacteria to new viruses. Tonegawa received the 1987 Nobel Prize for this discovery. When flu strikes, your body generates generic responses, inflammation, fever, increased white cell production, while testing millions of immune cells over 5 to 7 days until finding the perfect match. These cells multiply rapidly into targeted armies. Memory cells enable faster future responses. Vaccines introduce harmless pathogen versions to create memory cells without risking infection, reducing response time from weeks to hours. In the early 1970s, Dr. Max Cooper attempted saving an infant lacking T and B cells by transplanting bone marrow from the child's mother. Despite sharing 50% DNA, the transplant failed, revealing the immune system's extraordinary specificity in rejecting foreign tissue, even from close relatives. Peter Doherty and Rolf Zinkernagel's breakthrough came from infecting mice with virus. They discovered T cells targeted infected mouse cells specifically, but couldn't kill virus-infected cells from different mouse strains, even with identical virus. This revealed dual recognition, identifying both pathogen and confirming the infected cell belongs to the host. This illuminated the major histocompatibility complex, the immune system's fingerprint. T cells perform two-step verification, confirming cells are self, then determining if they're damaged or infected. MHC genes are humanity's most varied, with thousands of variants creating unique molecular signatures so distinct they produce detectable scent. Studies show people are unconsciously attracted to partners with different MHC genes, possibly explaining evolutionary aversion to incest. This system has remained unchanged for 500 million years across all jawed vertebrates. By 1980, Dr. Anthony Fauci pioneered medicines dampening overactive immune responses without compromising infection defense, marking a pivotal shift from viewing immunity as attack and destroy to recognizing it as a sophisticated system seeking homeostasis. Autoimmunity's history traces to 963 AD, when symptoms resembling wolf bites led to the term lupus. Paul Ehrlich introduced the concept that the body might attack itself around 1900. In 1929, Dr. Philip Hench noticed rheumatoid arthritis improved during jaundice or pregnancy. Working with Edward Kendall, they isolated cortisol from cow adrenal glands and administered it to a 29-year-old woman immobilized by arthritis who miraculously recovered, earning them the 1950 Nobel Prize. In November 1998, the FDA approved Enbrel, one of the most anticipated drugs in medical history. Unlike earlier treatments suppressing the entire immune system, Enbrel used monoclonal antibodies targeting tumor necrosis factor, TNF. Three scientists revolutionized this field. Niels Jern developed methods to isolate antibodies. Cesar Milstein fused B cells with cancer cells to produce abundant antibodies. George Kohler combined these techniques to isolate individual antibodies and make countless copies. The Hygin hypothesis suggests our immune systems evolved for pathogen-rich environments, but modern hygiene changed that landscape. When not trained by regular germ exposure, immune systems overreact to harmless substances, causing allergies and autoimmune disorders. A study comparing Amish and Hutterite communities found dramatically lower asthma rates among Amish, 5% versus 21%, who practiced traditional farming with greater environmental exposure. Our bodies contain at least 100 trillion bacterial cells, primarily in our gut. As Sarkis Mazmanian explains, the human genome is not sufficient to confer all the benefits of health. We require input from the microbiome. Stress disrupts this balance profoundly. Janice Kiekold-Glaser and Ronald Glaser's groundbreaking 1982 study examined 75 medical students before, during, and after exams. Antibody levels spiked significantly during exams, while natural killer cells sharply decreased. Stress triggers cortisol, which reaches virtually every cell, repressing genes critical for immune function. Sleep isn't luxury, but necessity. Bodies flush brain toxins and regulate immune responses during rest. Studies of 1.3 million subjects found optimal sleep for longevity is 7 hours, with dramatically increased death risk for those sleeping under 4.5 hours. When injured, the body triggers a sophisticated cascade. Red blood cells clot, immune cells clear pathogens, and growth signals increase tenfold within 1 to 2 days. Fibroblasts build tissue bridges while blood vessels feed new cells. Yet this healing carries danger. The same growth factors promoting regeneration can nurture cancer cells. As scientists observed, tumors are wounds that do not heal. Smoking or excessive sunbathing damage tissue and DNA. When the immune system stimulates new growth, it may inadvertently nurture mutated cells resembling self enough to avoid destruction. James Allison discovered how cancer manipulates CTLA-4, halting immune response. Another break is PD-1, programmed death, discovered by Dr. Tasuku Honjo in 1992, which triggers immune cell suicide, preventing the system from going rogue. The FDA's March 25, 2011 approval of Yervoy marked a revolution, a drug unleashing the body's own immune system to fight tumors. Clinical trials showed 20% of metastatic melanoma patients lived 2 years or longer, though serious side effects affected 10 to 15%. The immune system reveals profound lessons. Everything connects: cancer, autoimmunity, HIV, allergies, with immunity being the river that runs through every aspect of health. The system doesn't primarily attack, it seeks harmony. The misconception that a boosted immune system is desirable is dangerous. Dr. Fauci notes advertisements promising to boost immunity almost make him chuckle. Most immune systems need no boosting, and overstimulation causes devastating damage. For immune health, sleep, exercise, meditation, and nutrition are crucial. One study showed cyclists aged 55 to 79 had immune systems aging more slowly than sedentary peers, suggesting activity signals you continue to play a vital role in your own survival. Our immune system hasn't evolved to defend us indefinitely. It protects our genetic material through reproduction before moving us out of the way. As Dr. Miller states, evolution has decreed we cannot live forever. Nature has decreed you've got to make way for the next generation. Yale scholar Ruslan Mejitov adds, there's no ultimate solution. Curing one disease merely allows another to claim us. The key distinction is between lifespan and health span, living well rather than living forever. Your immune system teaches the ultimate lesson. Life's meaning isn't found in immortality, but in the delicate, temporary balance we maintain while we're here.